If you would, open your Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to quickly go through this again, and we're going to get into this message that I began last Sunday, and it's called Stepping Out of Unbelief. So stepping out of unbelief, and we begin with Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Whenever the Bible says, brethren, who is he talking to? Amen. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Encourage one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we see here that it is possible for a believer to become hardened in their heart. So he's saying, beware to the church. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Your confidence is very valuable, very important. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Because what happens is when we begin to become hardened in our hearts, the voice of the Lord becomes softer and more difficult to hear. Are you hearing me? When your heart is soft and pliable and in good condition, you can hear the Lord more readily. But if we continue to resist his spirit, your heart can actually become calloused to where you're having difficulty now even hearing anything from God. Are you hearing me? Now there's a solution to this. There's a way out of that place, but it's called repentance. You're going to have to turn back to God with all your heart, and you're going to have to repent of those things. Of all the times that we're resisting God's spirit, he will not strive forever. For who, verse 16, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, I said this last week, but unbelief is really rooted in self-confidence. Christianity is not like anything that we've known naturally in this world. True Christianity is actually to live a life that is opposite of the way that this world goes. You ever see the illustration of the fish, right, swimming upstream? Well, the world is like the water going downstream, and there are those who are making their way against the current of the world. They're going up. And I think that's a good illustration of what God is calling us to, a higher place. And so what we're used to and what we're accustomed to and what we've been subjected to through all the stuff that we brought into our brains through the years, there has to be a renewing process. There has to be a changing of the mind as well. We have to begin to discover what God says. And if what God says does not line up with the way I've been thinking, guess what needs to change? We don't change God to fit us. That's idolatry. We have to change. Amen? We have to repent. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, you are the truth. I am going to align with what you say now. How many have been doing that and practicing that? I'm not saying in perfection, but you've been practicing that and you have discovered that that is true. It really works. If you want to have victory, you're going to have to divorce your own thinking. You're going to have to be done with your ways. You have to come to the end of yourself. When you're at the end of yourself, you're actually ready for a walk of faith. Because a walk of faith is not walking in the predictable. Walking by faith means that I'm totally trusting God now. I'm totally depending on God now. Not just I'll add God to the equation once in a while. But walking by faith is a daily walk. And it is an exciting walk. It is amazing the things that God does through simple human beings if we will yield and allow Him to be Lord. There's a song that we sang years ago that says, I'm never going back again. I'm glad I got rid of my sin. I'm glad I got rid of that old life. I got tired of it. If you're sick and tired of the way that you've been going and living and the life that you've known, something needs to turn around. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your ways. See, there's a part of us that resists that. When you hear that, it's like, yeah, I don't want to turn away from my ways. I want my way. There's a rebellious nature in every one of us. Amen. It's the old nature that wants to go its own way. And when you hear somebody say, you can no longer go your way, it is the way of death. The way of life is the way of the Lord. And it is a glorious way. It is a way where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what you think you're going to lose, you didn't want anyways. You will discover the things that God says, I want you to get rid of this. And you say, oh God, but I don't want to get rid of that. Okay, Lord, if you insist. And you get rid of it, you say, man, am I glad I got rid of that? Am I glad I listened to God? I was willing to exchange the plastic pearls for genuine pearls. My ways are like plastic pearls, amen? God says, I'm just waiting for you to give up the plastic pearls. Give them to me. Oh, God, not my plastic pearls. You know? But when you do, oh, God, so much better with you. It's a higher reality. It's a superior kingdom. What I thought was living, it was really death in comparison to life in the Spirit. Wow. Superior life in the Spirit. And that's what God calls us out of death, out of our ways, out of the world, into a kingdom that is eternal. And He wants to share His glory with His people. He wants us to share. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, He said. Wow. Not that we earned it or deserved it, but God is good and God invites us to come and to receive. Just receive. Self-confidence is our problem. Again, if we are full of our ways, we don't feel the need to pray or seek God because I'm doing okay being my own God. See, we don't believe in bowing down to idols of wood and stone. Most of us in America don't. But what about the idol of self? What about the idols of our hearts, where we have put all kinds of other things before God? And if we have any time left over, we may give God our spare change. Hello. We may give God the leftovers. Well, one of these days, maybe when I retire, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that. What I've heard a lot of people say, when I retire, I'll have all kinds of time to serve God. And you know, if you're not serving God now, chances are when you retire, you're not going to serve Him then either. Because there's something wrong with your heart if you don't feel like He deserves your worship and the rest of your life. Do you understand, folks? That means that you are actually your own God. Has anybody beside myself been in that place? Okay, so I'm not speaking down, I'm speaking across to my family, my brothers and sisters. But God's way is higher than our ways. And if you really want to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised, it will require you being through with your life. I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done with my the way I've been living. You know, that's what it took for me. How about anybody else here? I came to the place where I was done. I'm just done with me. Lord, Your way is definitely better, and I want to walk with You. Do you know what God says? He says, okay, you can still be who you are. You don't have to give up. As a matter of fact, many of the dreams that God has put in you, He put in you in the first place, the dreams that you've had, He put in there. But you have to be willing to take all of that and lay it at the altar and say, Lord, now You decide. And whatever goes through death can be resurrected by the Lord. But if you're not willing to give it up for God, you will lose what you think you have. Any man who will try to save his life will lose it. But if you're willing to lay it down for Jesus, you'll find it. Ha! I have found life in Christ. He's my life. And it doesn't mean I can't have fun. Amen? It just means that God is my priority. The kingdom is my priority. Amen? He's first. He decides. He's Lord. Amen? And if I'm out piddling around in the yard and Papa calls and says, come on in, it's time for you to sit down at supper with me, then I need to drop everything and said, my Father's calling me to pray. Listening to His voice. Amen? He says, I want to share something with you. It's time to get in the Word. We've got to be led by the Spirit. We're not ready for God's will until we are through with our will. See, there's a patch job Christianity being offered today. People just say a sinner's prayer, and then they basically live their own life independent of God. And someday, in the sweet by and by, I'm just going to go to heaven. Do you know God didn't save us just to take us to heaven? God saved you so you could be salt and light in this world and call the kingdom in.
Amen. Right.
Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's a lot of people just in the sweet by and by, and they just think that I just do this thing, you know, this little routine and ritual on Sundays or whatever, and I'm just waiting for that sweet by and by. Someday I'll be in heaven. But you know what? That's not what God's plan was. God's plan was for you and I to be salt and light in this world, to be kings and priests representing Him in this world. Amen. To decree a thing and it will shall come to pass. He wants us to speak into situations. He wants us to destroy the works of the devil. He wants us to possess that which He's calling us to. He wants us to win souls, to draw people to Jesus, to point them to the answer, the solution, the hope that we have. Over and over in Scripture, we see Elijah. God had to bring him to the end of himself. Moses had to be brought to the end of himself. David had to be brought to the end of himself. Joseph had to be brought to the end of himself before he could be entrusted with the greater riches of God's will for his life. You had to spend some time in the back 40, you know. Moses had to be tending sheep for a while. God wanted a vessel that He could trust who would not get a big head. And that's why even sometimes after we have mountaintop experiences, we have to go through a time of trial to keep us humble so He can't lose us. So He won't lose us. Because the first thing that happens is that old ego gets in the way. I'm the guy that called the fire down from heaven, you know. Whatever. But God works. He knows what is best for us. He knows the right prescription for our lives. And what I have to, the medicine that I have to eat is not the same as yours. Amen? And sometimes they say, well, they must have really sinned bad. Look what they're going through. No. God's just loving on them enough because He wants to promote and advance them and bless them eternally. Come on, so that He'll allow them to go through some things and allow us to go through things so that we can be entrusted with the superior things. There's a connection between the natural and the spiritual. If we're trustworthy, if we're honest, if we tell the truth, if we're on time for work, if we commit ourselves and say we're going to commit ourselves and we do what we say we're going to do, God takes note of that. If you can't be faithful in the natural, why should God entrust you with the spiritual, which is eternal? Come on. There's a lot of people that want gifts and things from God, but they're not being faithful in the natural. God has us accountable. Even the money that we receive, it belongs to Him, and we need to say, God, what do you want me to do with it?
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Oh, ouch. If we trust in money, then we'll have a problem with that. Don't touch my God. My shiny little nickel. By the way, we're not going to have an offering, so relax. We have discovered that God always takes care of us if we take care of His business.
Amen.
If we do what He tells us to do, He's always provided for us. And He'll do the same for every one of us if we just be honest and be faithful with what He gives us. Come on, to give God the first fruits. Amen. Honor the Lord with your substance. Amen. And once again, what God calls us to is beyond where we can take ourselves. We have, in our own strength, tried to take ourselves places. Amen? In the church or whatever. You ever done that?
Yeah.
We've tried to promote ourselves by... Sometimes, folks, don't get mad at me for saying this, but sometimes we can kind of get off in a show-off spirit sometimes. Because we want to get noticed. Jesus said, if that's your motivation, there's your reward. Somebody said, hey, that was wonderful, brother, that sister. You know, there's your reward, but it ain't going to be in heaven. We've got to be like Jesus, who just did what His Father showed Him to do and spoke what His Father spoke. And if people didn't like it, oh well. He wasn't there to please man. He was there to do the will of His Father. And it cost Him dearly. But for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame. Now He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Given the name above every name. Through suffering He was exalted. And yea, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, to live according to the word of God, amen, the direction of the Spirit, there's going to be persecution. You're not going to be that popular. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees and those who were esteemed in the eyes of man, He says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. If you're just popular by everybody, chances are you are not living for God. There's compromise. Because the world is not going to get it when you are really living for God and walking with Jesus. The world's not going to understand you. As a matter of fact, you're going to be like the ugly duckling to the world. But in the kingdom, you're going to be beautiful. And the kingdom is forever. Hallelujah. Where confidence needs to be in the Lord. Now, I want to talk about just a few things quickly. You okay so far? All right. As long as I got one uh-huh, we're going. So, I want to talk about a few things, folks, that are really unbelief. Okay? Now, the first one is hopelessness. Hopelessness is actually unbelief. Now, in Jeremiah 18, this is when the Lord had called Jeremiah the prophet to go down to the potter's house, and he says, and there I will speak to you. I will cause you to hear my words at the potter's wheel. So he went down there, and God gave him an illustrated message on the potter's wheel. And the potter was working some clay, and it was marred in his hands, so he basically broke it down and reformed it. And this is a type of what takes place in our lives. We are marred by sin, naturally. But God is the one who has to, if you will, break the mold and start all over it with a new creation in Christ Jesus. And He makes a glorious vessel that is able to contain the glory of God. Amen? And sometimes, folks, when you're on that potter's wheel, you're just like, whoa, man, what's going on here? If you ever work clay, you know, you got to beat on it. Sometimes you got to get the air bubbles out and throw water on it. But when you're done, it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be able to endure the heat of the flame, of the furnace. So God makes us into a vessel that's able to endure the heat. But what the heat actually does is strengthens, amen, the clay, the vessel, so it won't break. And so here, there was a hopeless situation that only God could deliver them from. And listen to what they said in verse 11. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Now, listen to the response in verse 12. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a condition of unbelief where the people did not believe God was able to turn their situation around. And so they got into unbelief, and a fruit of unbelief is hopelessness. And it was Mother Teresa that she made a comment that hopelessness is at the root of all poverty. You think about that. Even when a group of people or a nation become hopeless, they just kind of like give up. They have no longer any drive to do anything to improve their conditions because they just feel there's no hope. What's the purpose? What's the point of trying to improve my life? I'm just in this place of hopelessness. And you know, I think there's some truth to that, that we have to be guard against hopelessness. I've been in a place of hopelessness. There was a time in my life where I didn't feel like there was any hope for me. And so I lived a hopeless existence. And you could tell by the way I lived that I was living in hopelessness. Folks, God is the God of all hope. And we are never hopeless with Jesus. Are you hearing me? So hopelessness for a believer is illegal. And the people here said, it's hopeless, so we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his own evil heart. In other words, when people, even God's people, get into unbelief, they begin to live sinful lives. They begin to what we call backslide and go back into Egypt or into the world. Why? Because of an attitude of unbelief, which is hopelessness. And so God tells us, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That's Hebrews 10:35. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He's speaking to a persecuted church who had all kinds of opposition against them. He's saying, listen, keep your hope in God. Be confident in your God. Your God is able to make a way. Your God is able to give you the strength to endure anything. Don't cast away your confidence. What was the confidence in? That the Lord was going to someday reward them for their faithfulness and suffering. You know, sometimes folks, people will fall away or compromise over the smallest thing, you know. I'm hanging out with my friends and they tell the dirty joke and, oh, well, I don't want to be the oddball, so I better laugh too. Selling out. Come on. You know, I mentioned this before, and I want to say something. If you are in any relationships right now where you are able to pull that person towards Jesus, keep it. It's like a tug of war. But if you feel that your life is being dragged in the wrong direction, let it go. You don't need that kind of friend, amen, that's going to pull you back into the pit.
That's right.
If you're able to pull your friend with you to Jesus, hang on to the rope and keep on pulling. Amen. But if it's going the other way, let go of that rope. It ain't worth it. Amen. So guard yourself in your relationships. All sin is unbelief. Unbelief is sin. Unbelief is you and I saying, I don't believe God. I don't believe he's telling the truth. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where does joy and peace come? From believing. Faith in God. Faith in his promises. Faith that God will do what he said he would do. We don't have to question it. The devil wants you to question God. God didn't really mean what he said. Yea, hath God said. No, God means what he said. If God says, I will be with you, he will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with me. I don't care if I feel him or not. I know the Lord is with me. Why? Because I believe his word. Because God is true. Yes. Yes. His word is true. When God says something, he means it.
Amen.
He's not a man that he should lie.
Right.
God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Believe on the Lord and you'll be delivered. You'll be saved from that situation, whatever it is. Folks, I want to hear say this too. Listen, Please listen, just a few more minutes. Well, maybe. Unbelief will keep you from receiving anything from God. Sometimes the reason why our prayers are not answered is because we don't really believe God's hearing us. And if we don't believe God is hearing us, then we won't keep asking. Well, I asked, nothing happened. That's unbelief. Jesus said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Amen? If you keep on seeking, you'll find if you keep on knocking, the door will be opened unto you. If I'm in faith, if I believe God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, I'll keep asking, I'll keep seeking, I'll keep knocking, because I know my God is hearing me. Not because I feel like He's hearing me, but because of what He said. I put my faith in the truth, and the good feelings will follow faith. How many have discovered that? There's been times you didn't feel like praising Him, but you praised Him anyways, and then the good feelings followed the praise. If we're just waiting for me to feel a certain way, then chances are that you're not going to. And you know the devil's always going to look for ways to keep you from praising God. Oh, what will people think? They're going to look at you funny. You really can't sing. You're just going to disturb everybody. Well, maybe he's right about that. No. No, that's a lie. God deserves praise. He is worthy of praise for all He's done. Are you saved today? Are you born again? Then He deserves praise for eternity. Amen? Thank God He delivered you out of a devil's hell. Believing God is what pleases Him. Unbelief displeases Him. Because when we don't believe God, we're calling Him a liar. Now, I want to say another thing, folks. Listen, please. Our confidence is not to be in people, but in God. Some people's faith is dependent on the faith of others. So if their spouse or their friends or their loved ones fall away, they do too. Why? Because they were depending on a person and not on the Lord Himself. That's what happens, folks, when people put too much faith and trust even in ministers. Now, by the grace of God, I'm not going to do something foolish, amen, and cause a big problem, but by the grace of God, I stand. But my responsibility is to point you to Jesus Christ, amen, and not to me. Because man is fallible and men do fall. Even men that are anointed of God, that have a powerful ministry before the Lord, they have fallen into sin. And because people were putting their faith in the man and not in the God of the man, when the man fell, so did all the people, or many of them. They fell away. Why? They weren't trusting in the Lord. So our faith has got to be, our confidence has got to be in God and not in people. In Jeremiah 17 and 5 it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, when we are trusting in people and not the Lord, we actually will fall away from God. And our faith will be in the wrong place. And again, as soon as the wife or the husband or whatever, as soon as they're not doing well, guess what? You're not doing good either, because you're depending on them and their faith. Do you understand, folks, that your wife, your husband, your parents, your children, they are not going to be able to carry you into eternity. They're not going to be able to sustain you through eternity. It's you and Jesus alone. He's the only one that can save you and keep you. And so what I want to be is an example to my brothers and sisters. I want to live an example. Amen? Follow my example as I follow Jesus. But don't follow me because I can't save you. You understand? Follow me as I'm being an example. Follow me as I'm following the Lord. But don't follow me as if somehow, you know, that you can call a priest and he's going to pray you into heaven. No, the Bible says that you must confess Jesus Christ. That there is only one intermediator between God and men. This is what the Bible says. There is one intermediator between God and men, and it's not you and I. It is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, period. There's no other ways except through Jesus. And if you are putting your faith in a priest or in a preacher to get you to heaven, you are putting your faith in the wrong place. And many people are being deceived by this. It's a heresy. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what it is. It does not line up with this holy book right here. And this is what we're going to believe because God's word is true. And he'll save you if you'll trust him. Hallelujah. Okay, we're still moving along here. How about one more? One more? I got at least one yeah, so. Here's another one, guys. Complacency is unbelief. Complacency is unbelief. When a Christian becomes stagnant, they're in unbelief. I guarantee it, folks. It's biblical, and we're going to look at that. When we get to the place where we're just stagnant, we're no longer moving with God, we're no longer serving, we're no longer living and loving and giving, we're in stagnation. When you get into complacency, complacency eventually becomes apathy, where you don't even care anymore. And usually, again, it's because we are self-centered. We're only thinking about ourselves. We're not thinking about my brother and my sister. I'm not thinking about others. And I've found my way of refreshing, my way of receiving from God is by loving and serving you. Do you understand? When you love and you serve others, when you give to the poor, when you bless people, you'll receive your blessing from God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Zephaniah 1:12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. The Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. You know, this can be negative and positive, folks. Do you understand? This is a place where they were thinking, they were being warned of judgments that were coming on the nation, and they continued to in unbelief that God was going to do anything about it. Are you hearing me? They were just saying, now God's not going to do evil, and he's not going to do good. We're just going to kind of sit here, soak and sour in the middle somewhere, in a place of complacency. He said they were sitting on their lees, you know. And he said, I'm going to search with lamps. The Spirit of God is the lamp that searches out. Amen? And for those who are in complacency, he says, I'm going to wake them up. I'm going to give them a spanking. Why? Because you're too precious to God to let you continue in complacency for too long. Has anybody discovered that complacency has led to apathy? And from apathy, you found yourself in spiritual bondage? Amen? It's just like that. You'll find yourself in bondage if you continue in complacency. And God says, pay attention. I'm calling you and I'm sending you. Amen. To be a vessel that I'm going to work through. And as long as we are moving, as long as the water is flowing, it's living. Amen. But if we become a pool that just keeps collecting and has no outlet, guess what? You become stagnant. You become complacent. And so God's saying complacency is apathy and is unbelief because you're saying that God's not going to do good nor evil. If I believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, I'm going to diligently seek him. If I believe that God is going to answer my prayers, I'm going to keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. If I believe that God will save the lost if I talk to them and tell them about Jesus, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. If I believe that God's going to fill me with his Holy Spirit, if I open my mouth and give him praise, I'm going to open my mouth and give him praise. Because I'm not in complacency. I'm in faith. I'm in confident trust that what God says he will do. Oh, hallelujah. God says, come out of the miry clay. Come out of that place where you've been stuck. Shake yourself off. Break out of that place. Start calling on the name of the Lord. Start crying out to Jesus and let the chains come off. Folks, there's times when I feel like I'm getting into that place of complacency and the Spirit of God begins to deal with me and I've got to stir up the gift of God within me, and I do this through prayer and through praise. He inhabits the praises of His people. Open your mouth and I will fill it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, I'm going to finish here. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This is what's happening today, folks. Bruce, you mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. And we talked about Noah a little bit this morning. And how people were probably thinking around the 100th year anniversary of the beginning of the ark and the calling of repentance that went out through Noah. Amen. People probably started to think, you know, we've been hearing this a long time. 100 years now, Noah, come on, get with the program. Don't you understand it ain't going to happen? It's never rained before. In 120 years, guess what happened? The rain come. And I wonder if there was people that were walking with them for a while, working alongside Noah in faith, believing that God meant what He said for a season. And then later on, they begin to wonder, well, does God really mean what He says? I've been sowing. I haven't seen any results. I've been faithful. I haven't seen any results. How many know that faith is sowing when you don't see anything, knowing and believing that someday it's going to come back to you? So keep on loving, keep on serving, keep on giving, keep on being faithful. Come to church, seek the Lord, encourage one another, impart what you have to others, and you will find that you will be well watered yourself. If you don't have an outlet, you'll just become complacent. You become stagnant. And I know firsthand, God still means what He says. Fear and worry is unbelief. Fear and worry is me saying, I don't know if God's going to take care of it. So I'm going to have to worry about it instead. Which accomplishes what?
Nothing.
Zero. Worry gets you nowhere. Instead, I have to turn that around and say, I'm going to believe God. Amen. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. I'm going to believe God to the end. Yep. Because I know who my God is. And even if I'm not seeing any results, even if I've been preaching for 25 whatever years now, and I'm not seeing any fruit, I know that God is working in the hearts in the invisible place, and someday there will be a harvest. I've seen it, and you have too, where you've prayed for loved ones, you've been sowing into people's lives, and you haven't seen any fruit, and even sometimes they fall away, and you say, oh God, that was all a waste of time. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Because the Word of God will not return void. It will accomplish what He sent it out to do. Amen. And the time will come, if you do not give up, if you do not lose heart, that you will reap a harvest. Hallelujah. Whether you see it in this world or not, because some you will see in this world and other will follow after. Hallelujah. I think about the men of God have gone before. Their books are still being published and still being read, and people's lives are still being blessed by them. Abraham obeyed God, and even today, amen, we are a result of his faith. Yeah. He's still reaping the benefits of believing God. Amen. Oh God, we thank You for Your Word. Hallelujah. Amen. And I pray that you have heard today and you're saying, you know what? I'm committing myself all over again. How many here are just saying today, you know what? I hear what God is saying, and I am recommitting my life. I don't care if you got to do it every day. Just lift your hand and say, that's me. I'm recommitting my life to the service of my King. Amen? To live for Jesus. I will ask. I will keep seeking. I will keep knocking. And I will walk in the authority He's given me. And I will reach out and love people and serve and not come to be served. Amen. As you sow, you shall one day reap. Thank you, Lord. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give your life. I love that song we sing, Sacrifice. So what should I do with this life that you paid for? Shall I go my own way, hoping my truth won't falter, or start up the fire and climb on the altar? The altar is a place of sacrifice. But the awesome thing is that God is in the resurrection business. So if you're willing to lay your life down, hear me, for Him, He will resurrect you in new life and fill you with energy. Amen. He'll fill you with His power. His zeal will be inspired in you again. You'll come alive in your heart. And that river, maybe it's just a pond with a little creek in it right now, but that river will begin to flow again. Amen. And it'll begin to flow out of your being. Hallelujah. As you begin to keep sowing and loving and serving and being faithful daily, whether you see it or feel it or not, because you believe God. Hallelujah, Lord.